Against the Grain Radio Show with your host, Mona Sam, live now.
Hello, hello, everybody. How is things going today? How are things going today? So, a couple of quick announcements before we get started. This month is going to be Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. We have different mamas, dads, folks coming on the show to talk about vaccine injury, either of their kids, themselves, family members, friends, and their experience with that. Couple of super-duper big things. If you follow David Steffen at all, he has a fundraiser going on. Long story short, he went to the court. There was a bunch of perjury and a whole bunch of other bullcrap that happened, and now they want to go through the courts again. However, the courts would not refund their money, even though they admitted that the whole thing was crap. They won't refund it, so they need your help in order to be able to go after these people for their son and to stop them pushing the agenda of trying to bring forward mandatory vaccines through the courts. Because unlike the states, we can't have vaccines mandated here in Canada due to our Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the religious freedoms and stuff. So they're trying to push it to the courts by making it a necessity of life. So that's a super-duper fun thing. I've posted a link in the show description. You can hop over to that. And then Denise Marie of The Informed Mama is also doing a huge thing. She's gathering any and all vaccine injury stories to start taking forward to the politicians and stuff down there. So you can hop to her website, theinformedmama.org, and find the sections and submit your story there. If you want it heard, she's going to be reading every single story that has been shared. So hop over there. Don't miss your opportunity. So to start off with, we have Laura Christensen. I believe we have her on hold here. Are you there, Laura?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Beautiful. Exciting. I'm so glad to have you here and have you share your story.
No, I'm excited to get to talk to you finally.
Yay! Super duper happy fun time Wednesdays. Hope the weather down there isn't too terrible.
Yeah, it's not. We had snow yesterday, but then now today it all melted and it's all clear and sunny, so that's nice.
Nice, nice. That's good to hear. It's been like minus 30 or something today. It was minus 52 this morning.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's always fun. So
wow, yeah.
So tell us, you mentioned your daughter was vaccine injured. How did that all go about?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So that's my oldest. Fortunately, I only went through with it once before I realized, you know, what was happening, and we stopped shots altogether. But, yeah, I mean, she was vaccinated, you know, first-time mom, wasn't really fond of them, but thought that I had to have her get shots and stuff, according to the CDC schedule. And so she had them according to that up until 15 months. And then at 15 months, I started researching, like, I was due shortly after that with my second baby. And so during that pregnancy, I kind of discovered, like, you know, like, basically why people were anti-vaccination, because before I'm just like, too crazy for me, you know, like I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole, because it's a really hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally during that pregnancy I was digging into all of this, and you know, your eyes just kind of get wider and wider the more that you read. And I was like, okay, I want to slow down, or I want to delay, or, you know, I was still like in the middle, but I knew that I didn't want to do the whole crazy, like what we had been doing, which is, you know, like three at each appointment and blah, blah, blah. So, so at that appointment, I was going to sign for, it was two of them. I think one was chickenpox, and I don't remember what the other one was. I think it was Hib. And And I went to sign for the chicken pox, and the pen, like, literally fell out of my hand, and I, like, immediately felt like I was going to pass out. And I sat down for a second, and this was still, like, when I was, like, discovering, like, my intuition and, you know, all that good stuff. And so I'm like, what the heck? Like, what just happened? You know, so I'm not, like, telling the doctor or anything, but I'm like, that's weird. So I'm like, can we just delay that one, you know, because I was still, like, I had no idea what had just happened and why I felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we postponed that and then continued, you know, whatever, researching, delaying. But, of course, you know how the media is with the measles. And so at 18 months, I was like, ugh. At that point, I knew it was the one that was, you know, whether it's true or not, but the most famous one for the most reactions. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to do it, but I'm afraid of the measles, you know. And so so she had it, and up at this point, she was 18 months. So she had, like, probably 10 words, and she would imitate, you know, anything that I would try to say. Like, if I said, like, diaper, she would say diaper. Like, you know, like, she was speech-wise,
mm-hmm.
she was doing great, and she was on par or whatever. And so
mm-hmm.
within 10 days of receiving the MMR, she had lost all of her speech, and she couldn't, absolutely everything went to the D sound. It was the. And it was that way for, I mean, she didn't even get mama back for over a year. Like, finally,
wow.
Around, I think, 6 months later, yeah. I was like, what is going on? Like, was it, you know, like, I don't know. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but I was just so confused and, like, wondering what happened. And so I kept seeing a couple different doctors. I saw several over the years, but every single one of them said the same thing. And they said, oh, yeah, sometimes regressions just, like, they just happen as the brain develops. And, no, it was definitely not the shot. No, it's never the shot. It's not the shot. Just again and again and again, which, not that I necessarily believe them, but it's just like, okay, why are all these, you know, quote, medical professionals saying that it's not the shot when it's like, you know, what else, what else could it be? Like, since when would, like, regression like that just happen? Like, just randomly, like, what, you know, I've never heard of such a thing. And so, so finally after, like, 6 months, we got her into speech therapy. And then it was about another 6 months before she even got mama back, and then dada, and then she really wasn't fully talking again until she was about 5. So it was a really long journey. She got cleared from speech therapy when she was, I think it was right before kindergarten. So it was a really long journey to get her speech back. So yeah, that's
wow.
basically it.
Mhm.
And
wow.
it, you know, now I found that, you know, the Hear This Well movement and their team, and I remember, like, just, I mean, that in the movie Vax as well, but seeing those afterwards, just like hearing our story from, like, hundreds of other people that all experienced the same exact thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. And finally it took, I mean, so many doctors. Now we finally have a good doctor. Finally, the first person to ever acknowledge her vaccine injury and to say, you know, good job for noticing that, good job for putting it together. You know, I can't believe doctors deny that, but of course he knows that they do. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just like, I mean, we didn't see him until she was, I think it was right around kindergarten. And was when we moved state. So it was just like, ugh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy. Yeah.
It's like finding a doctor like that is quite few and far between.
Yes. Yeah.
So many people out there that would just love a doctor like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I won't say his name, but he's kind of
on
track to be like Dr. Sears, where they're trying to shut him down because of what he's doing, because he has books where he's, quote, you know, he's pro-parent, pro-choice, you know, whatever. But if you dig a little bit deeper, you see that he's clearly on one side. But he is a technical pediatrician. So because of that, they're trying to shut him down. So I don't know how much longer we'll have him, but hopefully it doesn't end, because I'm like, if we didn't have him, like, you know, I would still be out there, like, trying to find someone that didn't deny the obvious, you know?
Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned, like, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of us start off, like, even myself, like, back in university, I was pretty freaking pro-vax until I started hearing
mm-hmm.
about, you know, Dr. Wakefield, and instead of just, you know, oh, Dr. Wakefield said, you know, vaccines were causing autism, I actually went and watched his seminars, and it really blew my mind that a journalist could debunk a scientist.
Right.
So that was kind of like a can of worms for me. What would you say would be, like, the initial can of worms for you?
Oh, gosh. The initial can of worms for sure was her injury, unfortunately, because I was the same way. I was that psycho, like, whether in my bones I felt it or not, I thought, or whether I felt safe or not, I thought that they were needed. You know, I was that stupid, I won't say stupid, but, you know, I was that pro-vaxxer that was, you know, believed in all the bullshit that, nonsense, sorry.
That's okay. My swear has lots of showing. I'm just keeping it PG at the moment because I'm listening. If I get mad, I'll start losing it. But
just the typical, just, oh, you have to you have to light your kid on fire to keep mine warm. You know, that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so for sure, her injury was what knocked me on my butt, and I was like, oh, you know, once I finally discovered, or really just realized and connected the dots. And then the other thing, which this didn't happen until even years after her, was I found my own personal vaccine records, and I think I told you about a little bit about this on Facebook, was that my experience with Gardasil. And I've never been a sick person, like, in my whole life. I've never, you know, I'm just not a sick person. And my junior year of high school was when it hit the market. And I remember my mom asking me, you know, do you want this one? It's for, you know, whatever, HPV. Oh, sure, I don't know. You know, like, and that was it. Like, I literally knew nothing about shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was 3 rounds. And that whole year of high school, I missed 6 out of the 9 months because I was so sick. Like, the first, I think, 4 or so months, they said I had mono, but I was out, like, I couldn't do anything. Like, I'm already, like, a really slender person, and I had lost, like, 15 pounds, and I was just, like, on the couch. Like, I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I was, like, losing all my muscle mass. I was just so sick, and then finally I got a little bit better, and then I just got sick again. And then that time it was just like it wasn't strep, but it was just some thing where I had this really sore throat where I cried every time that I, like, swallowed because it felt like I was swallowing knives. And that was another 4 months. And it was like, or another 3 months maybe. It was over 2 of the trimesters, and the trimesters were 3 months long and winter break. So I don't know, whatever. And it was just like, okay, what is this? Like, what kind of random thing is this? Like, I've never, you know, first of all, like, missing 3/4 of the year, and then I'm just like, gosh, that's so weird. And then finally, years later, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that, which, I mean, again, who knows, right? We never truly know. But that whole year, like, it started, I got my first one in like September 1st. Like, it was like right when school started. And then that's immediately when I got knocked out. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, what if, you know, what if it was that? And I mean, now I'm fine. So that's good. But I mean, who knows, you know, like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
That's absolutely crazy. Like, we didn't even have, I don't think we had HPV when I was going to school. I'm starting to feel like I'm old here already. Like, we didn't have chicken pox when I was going to school either. Like, they had it on the schedule, but they didn't offer it in school. Because, like, it was everybody was just doing chicken pox parties. So,
yeah,
everybody
I know,
around
I
here that. Still does chicken pox parties.
No, gosh. There's no chicken pox around here whatsoever.
You gotta, like, find a vaccinated kid and invite him over. Right after they get the chicken pox shot. Find a vaccine parent out there who's actually, like, cool with you being pro-choice. Or at least they're cool with being pro-choice. And then it's like, just invite them over as soon as their kid gets a chicken pox shot. Boom. Done.
Really? Have you, like, done that?
I haven't done that because we have real chicken pox that goes around here once in a while still.
Oh,
but
right.
It's happened. I've heard from a couple of my friends that their kid caught chicken pox from a recently vaccinated kid.
Right, yeah,
so
it's a live one.
Yeah, yeah, it's a live one. So that's always got to use your head. All these listeners out there that are pro-vax are going to be like, what the hell are these people thinking? For your information, pro-vaxxers, they don't have a chickenpox shot in the UK. They think it's insane. So there.
I know. I feel like, I don't know. You're in Canada, so I don't know. We'd have to compare. But, yeah, I feel like the U.S. is pretty freaking crazy on a lot of stuff. It's just, like, that the UK doesn't partake in.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got all their different levels of crazy. Did your mom, did your mom ever clue in when, like, you were sick all the time? Like, what's your mom's thoughts on that?
I mean,
never.
I have no idea. I've never even talked to her about it since finding out. And I really don't, like, I'm talking to you about it now, but I really don't, like, not announce to the world that she's vaccine injured. If I do, it's to someone like, I don't know. I just don't really, usually. I haven't really told anyone. Because it's just, I don't know, it's just so personal. And like, the few times that I have said things, you know, you get those comments where it's like, they tell you that you're stupid, or they just love to reiterate that vaccines don't cause autism. Like, my daughter's not autistic, thank you. Like, you know, you're not even hearing what I'm saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't really bother with it anymore, which is sad because, unfortunately, that leaves people generally to find out, like I did, like to find out, you know, for themselves. If they have a bad experience, then they have to go down that road. But I don't know. If people are open about it, I love talking about it. But, you know, when people are just like, they're too close-minded, then I just don't, you know.
Not really worth
the
fight.
Right, yeah. So my mother, I've never talked to her about any of it because she is pro, well, along with most of my family, very pro-pharma and all that stuff. So, but no, I mean, I went to the doctor, like, I don't know how many times throughout the year, testing me for different things because my mom's like, I don't know, you're still not better. What's the matter, you know? But but now, yeah, I actually should talk to her about that just and see if she wondered anything like that. Because I know in three rounds, like, I'd have to go back and look at the dates again and try to remember what points, you know, I came down with whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's just. It's crazy.
It's absolutely wonderful stuff. No sarcasm there.
And I was listening to...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you
go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to ask. If there was, like, one thing that... Because there's a lot of parents out there that are usually sit on the fence and they are not sure until something happens. If there is one thing that you would have been told that would have really flipped the script, what would it have been?
Oh, gosh. I think probably nothing like, well, I don't know. The stories, there was a few things. Like, number one was finally finding, like, all of the statistics on vaccine preventable diseases. And, finding, like, the graphs that the CDC puts out are very persuasive because you're like, oh, quick Google search, boom, there it is. Oh, look, the year that the vaccine was introduced, it dropped. Okay, that doesn't lie, right? But then you have to go and you have to go to the library and you have to go find books and figure out, oh, no, actually, it's when this came out or that came out or this doctor figured out not to mix shit with newborn babies or whatever, you know? And so I think really two things that did it was figuring out that those graphs were a lie, because I think for most people, you think the CDC is so reliable. And so you do a quick Google search and then, you know, really you stop there, whether you like it or not, because you believe what the government or whatever, some official source is giving you, you know, unflawed information. And then the other thing that really rocked me was hearing all the other stories, which was the Hear This Well, where all the other moms and dads shared their stories that were, you know, identical to mine, or they were worse, you know, like all the ones that regressed and never got their speech back. Or, you know, started headbanging or, you know, all of that. But I think just hearing that, because it's like the more I researched, I discovered, like, you know, you have two sides. You have, like, quote, science, where people are like, vaccines don't cause autism and vaccines don't do this. And, oh, injury is so rare, you know. And then they cite all of this whatever, all these sources that back them up. But then you're like, okay, so there's all that. But then if you look at the other side of it, you have thousands of parents who have had experiences, and it's like, what's more truthful? Like, is it all of this that one person is stating is science, or is it all of these human experiences? And, like, that's what really captivated me, was just seeing all these stories and hearing all these stories where it was much more severe than ours, even where it's just completely black and white. Like, there is no denying it, you know, or all the babies. Oh, you know, they had their 6 shots and then they passed away that night, you know? And then it's like, oh, well, they didn't, you know, they didn't say it was vaccines. It was, you know, whatever else, which is a side effect of vaccine. So it's, you know, so I think it's really just the stories from real people.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was a long answer.
No, that was an absolutely wonderful answer.
Yeah, I think that's what really took me was just hearing the stories from the real people, you know, not just science this and science that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. So if you don't mind, we're going to be taking a short break. Then we're going to be coming back with Evie. And then if you want to stick around the last 30 minutes of the show, we'll all be talking, you and Evie and I, and then we can share and converse. And if anybody has any questions at that point, feel free to ask them on freedomizerradio.com, or you can call in. If you're a troll, I'm going to axe your ass right away because I am not dealing with the same guy I did last week. So watch out, guy. I'm watching you. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes. With Evie. Thank you very much, Laura, for sharing your story. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, Those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer. In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home. MyZestiness.com.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
This is Tessa Dick, host of Ancient of Days, bringing you readings about history, civilization, and culture, as well as an in-depth study of the Bible. So please be sure to tune in on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey guys, what's cracking? This is Sam, host of Against Grain. We just had Laura on the show sharing her experiences with vaccine injury. This show today is brought to you by Mary Jane's Alternative Medicines. Super good stuff. You can find her on Facebook. She ships to the United States. If you can find a way, she'll make it happen. She's got some amazing products like Voodoo Juice. I've had a bunch of friends that have used it, and they have absolutely loved her stuff. So we have Evie now on the show, and she's going to tell us some stories. You there, Evie?
Hey, guys. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Sam, for having me on. I wanted to talk a bit about my daughter's experience. It actually was a family experience. We didn't realize that this was a vaccine injury for the longest time. Okay, so we're two clueless parents, ex-vaxxers. She was all up to date on the vaccines. And at 11, I mean, we'd been having trouble ever since she was 3 or 4 years old, soiling in her pants. It's technically called encopresis. It's apparently a very common thing for a kid to have, where they withhold their bowel movements so long, the fecal matter gets impacted, and I like to call it the poo juice just because it's nicer. It just sort of leaks around with a big mass of poo and creates, like, a loss of bowel control, poo juice in the undies, and we were struggling for years and years and years. Now, it was never on and off. It was always, we'd go to the doctor, they would tell us, oh, she has a bladder infection, and they'd give us antibiotics, and they'd send us home. I was big into just trusting doctors for a very long time. Mind you, my daughter's now 18, so we see that, you know, it's been a few years, okay? But at 18 years ago, we didn't really have access to the Internet as available as we do today. So there wasn't a whole lot of resources for a younger parent. And we just thought, well, this must be normal or whatever. The doctors would say, well, you know, she's just afraid to go potty, maybe this, maybe that. They were coming up with all kinds of excuses. I threw up the link to the Mayo Clinic so that anybody could click on there from freedomizerradio.com in that chat room powered by QuickChat. And they were telling me the same things. It listed just like the Mayo Clinic. They're reading them off to me like they're afraid of using the toilet. They don't want to interrupt their play. They don't want to stop playing to go poop. They're not eating enough fiber. I was told that I needed to give my kid more fruits and vegetables. It's my fault, right? Because I didn't give my kid enough fruits and vegetables. Never mind that my 3-year-old would eat raspberries by the clamshell or strawberries by the quart. Like, this kid was into eating fruit and vegetables, not drinking enough fluids. The kid never drank anything but water. And the next one is drinking too much cow's milk. They were subverting the issues and trying to push the blame onto me. They were also saying it might be an emotional issue with her. They're asking me, as a homeschooled mom, stay-at-home mom, if my 3 or 4-year-old's ever been unattended with somebody, because it's possible that it's sexually abuse, you know, like a sign of sexual abuse. And I'm, you know, reiterating, no, we don't even go to, like, a church where she's not, you know, with me 100% of the time. They said that it's things like, oh, sometimes it's from medication. I'm like, what medication? She's not on anything. They put her on Miralax. She was on that for several years before we kind of woke up and went, why are we, you know, and why are we doing this? At 11 years old, in the middle of the night, she woke up with distress. You know, she couldn't walk very well. She was in a lot of pain, and this kid does not cry, and she was crying. Now, the not crying thing, that's a whole other ballgame, but you know, this isn't the only side effect. It's just the most glaring one that we noticed. She's in a lot of pain, and I'm asking her where the pain is. I'm thinking, holy crap, my kid's gonna, like, burst her appendix or something. We got to get to the ER. We go to the ER.
Yeah.
They do a battery of tests, and they did a scan. I forget which scan is what now, of her bladder area and her appendix. They knew it wasn't her appendix. They'd ruled that one out first, and then they went in for more tests. And around her bladder, like, when they showed the slice of imaging that was around her bladder, instead of it being 10 lines thin to show the bare border of the bladder, it was Sharpie, like, thick, big poster marker Sharpie wide. It was very, very swollen. Her bladder wall was swollen. They said that might be just from the chronic constipation part. And they were like, we aren't really a children's hospital. We are going to transfer you. Do you want to go to this hospital or that hospital? And I chose children's hospital because I live near Detroit, so that's fine. We went there, and she had spiked a fever. Now, here's where I got kind of mad in hindsight. We get there, and we're up on the children's floor, and we're basically thwarted at the door. And they say, oh, no, there's no room in the children's side. You're going to have to go into pediatric ICU for this because there's no extra room. Come to find out, that was a lie. My daughter had spiked a fever. They thought that she had split open part of her bowel, like she had ruptured and was going to go septic.
Oh my God.
They didn't tell me this. Okay, this is this is not just, oh, I have a lot of poo. This was like the doctors were worried that my daughter burst open an intestinal wall somewhere and was leaking fecal matter into her abdomen. That's what they were worried about, and they didn't tell me this. They ended up trying to hide everything from me, which just makes me a little more angry about the whole situation because I feel like I should have at least been informed just a little bit. Because I'm thinking, I mean, I've been at this all day. I mean, we're talking, you know, it's not just you walk in, they address you, and you go home. I spent 6 hours at the ER. And I've spent another, like, hour and a half here before I'm like, okay, is everything settled? Can I, like, shower or eat or something? You know, I don't know, 5 minutes away, so it's not a big deal. And they're like, yeah, you can. And I have my mom there as a backup parental figure. And I go home and I shower and I come back to my daughter had already had an enema without me there. I was pissed about that, too. Like, why wouldn't you tell me I could go home if you're going to, like, basically butt rape my child for medical purposes without me there? I was livid. But, I mean, she's fine. It's all good. It's not confused. It's fine. They flush her out. And I actually got talked to about seeing a pediatric gastroenterologist, the pediatric poop doctor. There are only two in Michigan. Only two of these people. If you live up north, I guess F you, because you have to go to the Detroit area or the Lansing area. Those are the two places these folks work out of. And we went to see him, you know. And even at this doctor, this hospital stay at Children's was the first time I actually felt like doctors had been hearing me. Before it was, you know, oh, she's got another urinary tract infection or a bladder infection. Take these meds. Put her on the Miralax. And, you know, they're just sending me over and over. No one's listening to me and saying, I don't think this is right. This isn't working. You know, I'm being accused of things, everything from not giving my kid enough fruits and vegetables to blatantly neglecting them to the point that they're getting sexually assaulted at church or something. Right? So this time I was listened to and heard, and they said, you know what? We're going to send you to the specialist. The specialist sat down with us, talked to us about what was happening, but never told why any of it was happening. But we got answers, and we felt better that, you know, this was a medical issue, not her, like, having a mental breakdown of some sort and withholding for any kind of weird thing. It wasn't her fault. And if you can imagine 11 or 12 years of having to deal with that kind of embarrassment, like, your daughter leaks poop. You can't go anywhere. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't, like, go to a pool party or have your kids sit on someone else's couch. You can't have pants that are ever clean. The smell was terrible. And I know it's not the same as anybody else's, like, vaccine injury. A lot of these kids had, you know, more severe brain involvement and things like that. And I feel like I got off pretty darn lucky in compared to some other vaccine injured kids and their moms, because I didn't feel like this was too big of a thing. And it wasn't until a few years back somebody posted the MMR link to the PDF for the vaccine insert. And right in there, under the side effects, was chronic constipation and encopresis. It's in there.
Wow.
I lost my mind. I sat there and I went, I'm alone in my home with the kids. And I'm like, oh my God. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh my God. And I'm in tears now because I'd always blamed, like, maybe she's just, you know, acting out or whatever. And I don't know. I was kind of blaming her. She was kind of blaming me. It was always a fight with us. It was a bone of contention. How do you cuddle a child that smells like a poop pile all the time? Yeah, it's really, it damaged our relationship. And it's partly my fault. and I mostly blame the doctors for not telling me that this was a possible vaccine reaction. But when I read that there, everything sort of clicked in my head, and I went, oh, my God. I let my daughter read it. She was like 15 or 16 when I finally figured it out. And she just had this look on her face like, son of a bitch. Sorry. But then, yeah, that was her face. It was, you're kidding me, right? Like, that's what was wrong with me all those years?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep. Yep, yep. At 12 years old. Now, this is after she's gone through that ER experience and the specialist appointments, you know, 6 months apart. We're at the doctor's again for another visit. And they're talking to me about Gardasil. And I just heard Laura's story about Gardasil and how she narrowly escaped, like, freaking paralysis and, you know, all the bad things. That Gardasil is the worst one. I'm so sorry you went through that, Laura. But when they said this, and I'd done a little bit of research at that point, I was like, no, she's not getting the Gardasil one. Now, the whole reason Gardasil is to prevent HPV, which can be a precursor to cervical cancer. As an HPV survivor pre-vaccine, I got to tell you, it's the same sort of moral panic that they give us about measles and about chickenpox.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. I've had periods hurt worse than this. They go in with a scope. They do like an internal wart freeze deal, you know, freeze off the little abnormal cell sections. It's an outpatient procedure. I was awake during the whole thing. It was just a trip to the OB. It was a little more painful afterwards than your standard pap smear. Sorry, boys. But then, I mean, that was it. I had to take some Tylenol because way back then it was all Tylenol. No one knew the dangers of that either. But, I mean, it was 2 Tylenol worth of pain. That was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they're going to give us this Gardasil vaccine dance and say, oh, you need to have it. It's going to prevent cancer. It's blatantly false. It actually, a lot of women ended up sterile after that. A lot of them ended up paralyzed after that. And some of them ended up dead. And I was like, there's no way you're going to do this to my kid. She wanted me, the pediatrician then wanted me to leave the room so she could talk to my daughter alone.
What?
Now, yeah, because they wanted to talk to my daughter about possible anything that she might not want to answer in front of mom, like sexual activity type of questions at 12 years old. No, I'm not leaving the room. And they were trying to be as polite as possible about it, but they were pretty demanding as well. Like, you could tell they really just wanted to do this because I think it was part of the new healthcare procedures that they were trying to do for extra security of some kind. They wanted to make sure that a child who may be abused or something has a safe space, a safe place to talk to their doctor without the parent who may be abusing them, you know, to overhear that sort of thing. And I get that part of it, but also you're not going to be alone with my kids. You know, that's how I protected her thus far. I didn't leave her in the room with virtual strangers, whether or not they're in a place of, you know, alleged authority of any kind. You don't get to stay alone with my kid. Anything you have to say to her or she has to say to you, it can be said in front of me. So that caused a little bit of a tiff. And after that one visit, I have not taken my kids back to a doctor. My son at the time, I think he was 5 or 6, maybe, we stopped vaccinating him altogether. Because first of all, I was sick of what the doctors were saying and doing. And second of all, for them to push, you know, vaccines like that made me cringe. I will say one thing that one saving grace for my children's lives was I had an old school pediatrician that we went to. He's a family doctor. And when I was unmarried, we went to him. When I was married, we lost that insurance, and I couldn't really get out there that often. But I'd still, you know, tag along to my mom's appointments now and again just to say, hey. When my daughter was a week old, we went out there to show off the new baby. Because, you know, these doctors become family when you've had a long-time relationship. I took the baby in. I was like, look at my baby girl, and he picks her up, and he's a doctor. He's doing an exam without charging me anyway. He's that kind of old country doctor. And
And he's like, well, everything's going, how's the breastfeeding going, how's this and that? And I was like, everything's great. And then he was asking me if I vaccinated or not. And I was like, yeah, I'm planning to. And he goes, are you going to the doctor's office or the health department for that? I said, health department, because I didn't want my kids to associate doctors with a dangerous place. I want them to trust the doctor, or I wanted them to trust the doctor. Let me reiterate, this was before the internet, guys. So
yeah.
I wanted them to trust the doctors, because I was thinking all doctors were like this guy. I didn't want them to credit and associate it with a place where they get posted and, you know, they didn't want to go. I'd rather they think of it as a place they go to get suckers. He told me, That's a great idea. He says, but be careful, because if you go to the health department for shots, there's going to be ones that are optional. He says, don't do the optional ones. And he was trying to warn me against this as best he could without, like, risking his license. Because he says, basically, when they're optional, that means they are in human testing, that they haven't been fully tested. And it's human trials, and you're signing your kids up for a human trial. They don't know the long-term effects. And I went,
wow.
Oh. And that bit of information, I feel like, saved my kids from a lot more potential damage, because when my oldest was young, that's when the chickenpox vaccine had first come out and was optional. And, you know, subsequently, I think, Gardasil. So my kids were pre all of that. So neither of my kids got the chickenpox vaccine. Neither of them are going to have the Gardasil vaccine. They only had, like, I don't know, the schedule up until a certain point when I put my foot down, like, no more. We're not dealing with this. And especially not now, knowing that not only is our government putting us under vaccine trials without consent. I mean, I'm sure there's consent somewhere written in the tiny, small print at the bottom of a consent form for the vaccine itself, but I mean, I was never strictly informed that these are human trials and we don't know what could happen to your kid. That wasn't something anyone would say. It was the one doctor who said, don't do the optional ones. So I feel like that guy saved my kids because God only knows what would have happened had we done that full optional schedule with things like that. And for us to have vaccine injury in that way, in that one way, for that one kid, it made me look at everything else that's kind of, I don't want to say wrong with them, but wrong with them. Like, my kids aren't normal. I'm not normal. I have ADHD. I have a slew of other mental illnesses that can be, you know, they're not seriously bad, but they're there. They exist. And that my kids exhibit some of those symptoms and signs as well. And whether or not that's genetic propensity to react to vaccines, whether it's an actually genetic disease or brain affliction that, you know, is hereditary, I don't know for sure. So I don't know if my autistic traits are from vaccines or from heredity. I don't know if my kids' autistic traits, you know, while mild, you know, I don't know whether that's from vaccines or from heredity. So I can't say for sure whether or not the vaccines caused my kids' autism or whether or not it was, you know, a genetic propensity to begin with. Maybe regardless, they would have had some autistic traits. I don't know. It does make it easier now, though, that the information is more available for me to do that kind of research. You know, I feel better having put, because I wasn't diagnosed with ADHD till I was in my mid-30s, and I'm early 40s now, so it's not been too long. It's been a lot to digest. Even if it has been more than 5 years, it's still a lot to digest that you've had ADHD your whole life. You may or may not be on the autism spectrum, but it's more likely that you are, and that your kids are probably on that spectrum with you and also have ADHD, in addition to, apparently, the encopresis. But for me, the bigger impact in our lives was the poo leaking. And that's, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't seem like too bad of a thing, but it's still pretty darn awful. And when I reached out and I was telling family about this problem, because it is a private problem, it is something you don't want to, like, broadcast. I
learned that my cousin, so my father's side, female cousin, had a son who had the exact same problem with her son, that he had the same thing. She struggled through the same things I did, and she knew 100% what I was talking about with the frustration, with the cleaning, with the smell, with the kids hiding it, like, awful. So to know that not only is it my kid, but it was one of my cousin's kid, makes me think we probably have something, either genetics or it was also vaccines. And it's really hard to say. A lot of vaccine-injured kids, you know, you don't know, because it could also be genetic. It could be that MTFR, I don't know if I ever get that right, MTHFR, something like that. There's a gene that makes you more susceptible to the side effects of the ingredients in vaccines. We've never been genetically tested because, frankly, I'm paranoid. I have very severe PTSD from the last several doctor's appointments. I don't want to go back and ask and have my blood tested. I'm done with pharma. So I won't know unless my kids decide to be brave enough to go get that done eventually. But it's really difficult because there are obvious ones, and then there are, like mine, it's not as obvious until you put that final puzzle piece together and go, oh my gosh, that's probably what it is. That makes a lot more sense than things that are listed on the Mayo Clinic about encopresis, that it's vaccine related, because that's that would make sense. That was right in time with her MMR schedule. Like, she was fine, she was pottying, she was normal, and then all of a sudden, you know, and when she would poo, it'd be like ridiculous. I mean, it looked like a toddler leg half the time. I was like, how does this even come out of you? And it's just, it's so frustrating to have dealt with a problem like that, beating yourself up, beating your kid up. Well, not beating your kid up, but you know what I'm saying. Like, God, why are you like this kind of attitude? To go from that to going, oh my gosh, it's nobody's fault but, like, pharma's right now. We had nothing to do with this. We are basically victims of the pharmaceutical industry. And all that money that we lost in pants cost, laundry cost, couch cushions, everything. It's just like, I feel like we're owed something, but I'm never going to pursue it because I really feel like it's going to be super hard to prove. Well, I think that's where a lot of us end up, is like, it's going to be really hard to prove that. So we just don't fight. We just, you know, spread those seeds and start talking about what we went through. Because odds are we are not alone.
No.
Go ahead.
No. Absolutely not. I definitely think that sharing stories is most important, because you often hear from anybody who doesn't listen to families who share their stories. It's like, oh, well, it shouldn't be based on that. It's like, well, if anybody actually did a story, like if they did a study, because you can do those kinds of like a qualitative study and get together a bunch of parents and look at their vaccine records and look at their doctor's appointments and look how their health deteriorated and look at, like, you know, the family's common complaints and things. Like, you could very, very easily set up a study like that, and they're accepted for absolutely everything else except for vaccines. Funny
because
how that
pharma
works.
Pharma is the biggest contribution to the government staff, really. The candidates are funded by pharma a lot of the time. I mean, if you looked into it, you could, if you followed that money, you would see that those pushing for mandated vaccines in the United States have a vested interest in mandated vaccines. Either they're backed by Merck or Bayer or whatever the big pharmaceutical company is, and that's what they want. They want to sell their stupid vaccines, and they want to keep you. They're not in the health industry. They're in the, you know, keeping you unhealthy industry. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure there are individual doctors who do want you to stay healthy. I'm not going to debate that part. But you know that pharmaceutical bonus that they get for vaccinating you and having vaccinated patients does weigh heavily on their, you know, their decisions, whether or not they're going to be pro-vaccine or not. I mean, if you're dangling checks in front of doctors and saying, here, we'll give you an extra $50,000 a year if 60% of your patients are vaccinated, they're likely to push.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I think that it is important to at least share the stories, even if, like mine, I don't know whether or not our mental disabilities are related to that. It seems more likely than not. But for sure, we had the encopresis problem for years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could handle an occasional one out of a little one, like a 3 or 4 year old. You can, they're still mostly in diapers anyways. You can handle an occasional accident. But when it's all the time, every day, it's very, very draining. And you do lose your mind. So, yeah, even the weird side effects have a detrimental effect on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's really shitty.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Sorry,
well
that was
played,
a
by the way.
Wow. Okay. Good job,
no.
Sam.
No.
Okay. If you don't mind, I want to say a very big thank you for sharing your story. We're going to take another quick break, mm-hmm. and we'll come back, and we'll all be chatting together, you and Laura and I. So we're going to take another 5-minute commercial break, guys. And if you're listening right now on www.freedomizerradio.com, click on top right corner, join chat. You can, there's a little chat box there. You can type in any questions or any comments, and I can relay them. Or you can call in 319-527-6208. We are going to be back in a few minutes, and we're going to keep chatting. Bye. Be right back.
Journey into Freedom is a show about just that. Come join me as we discuss alternative medicine, energy work, homeschooling, homesteading, barefooting, grounding, and so much more. This is a program where I want people to be heard and to share thoughts and ideas and opinions on everyday freedoms. Learning to free yourself from all things no longer serving to your purpose is the first step to living free. So let's discuss what makes us free and how we can attain those freedoms every day by the way we choose to live. Journey into Freedom with me, your host, Red Gypsy. Hope to see you then. Namaste.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio, and be prepared.
Come join us as we peel away the layers of the unseen, unknown, and uncharted, and we hope you tune in late night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, to get ready to find a clarity after dark.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre drops the verse.
I like the way you grow it, no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow it, so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow it, with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it,
no diggity.
No doubt.
We've got squash and peas, pollinator packs for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
I wanna grow it. I wanna taste it.
Yeah. 2014.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmers.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Hello, everybody. What's cracking? This is Sam, host of Against the Grain, and we are back today with Evie and Laura. They've had a chance each to share their stories of their children's or their own vaccine injuries, and they're back here. We're just going to have a chat. And if you have any questions for them, you can go to www.freedomizerradio.com, top right corner, click join chat. It might take a minute or two to pop up. And there's a chat box there. You can type any questions, make any comments, or you can call in 319-527-6208, push 1 to get on air. And I'm watching you, guy who was here last time. I know your number. So if you're listening live right now, I'm fucking watching you. So...
Get him, Sam.
I'm just going to put that reminder on every show for the next, like, 2 months, so he's going to crap his pants, because I'm watching, man.
Right?
So, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of vaccine injury, did you ladies go out of your way at all to, like, do any research into healing, and if so, what did you do for that?
Evie, why don't you go ahead?
Oh, okay. I was going to let you go. I did not because it wasn't until a couple of years ago that we figured out that my daughter was vaccine injured, and that was the whole reason for that roller coaster of emotion and poop. So by that time, she had already been actually self-detoxing with the foods that she had been drawn to. We're very unschooly over here, so it's very free range and they can get what they want within reason. And she'd already been after things like we garden, so we had a lot of spinach, we had a lot of strawberries. I mean, homegrown, we're not going to the store for that stuff. It's part of that dirty dozen. And she had been craving certain foods and we were just letting her eat it. We made things like salsa, which has a lot of onion and garlic in it. And she just kind of naturally gravitated towards these foods that'll help boost her immune system and help her detox from all that other stuff. So, I don't remember exactly which foods she was all drawn to because our house is an eclectic mix of highly healthy to highly unhealthy stuff, just a bit of around. All things in balance, right? But, you know, when she's sitting there taking things like chia seeds and hemp seeds and, salads and this and that over everything else, you can tell that there's a real, you know, trusting our bodies to know what they need thing. And I forgot to mention, part of hers was a chronically low iron number. So, you know, we started kind of panicking. We had her on some iron and then realized that's why she likes spinach so much. It's full of iron. You know, if you cook it, it's a lot more. It helps release it better. Yeah, raspberries, the things that she was eating all the time. Pickles, like all kinds of stuff. So we were kind of happy that we allowed her to listen to her body and eat what was helping her feel better. And I didn't really do too much research into any of the detox anything, because that just happened organically for her. Not so much my son, but by then, I mean, it's been, you know, 5 or 6 years and, you know, more or less clean eating, and he's fine-ish. We still struggle with the ADHD thing, and no amount of diet on my end is going to help me. I mean, there are stories that my grandmother suffered from it, and it's so obvious looking back at all those anecdotal stories about my crazy grandma that point to ADHD, so I really don't know that there's anything I could detox from if it's that hard genetically wired.
Yeah, what I was going to say about food, I think nutrition is the most important thing, which is what I focused on, which I also actually didn't even touch the topic of constipation, which is something that my daughter still suffers with today. The time she was exclusively breastfed until she's about a year, when she was finally ready for food. She gagged on everything before that. And as soon as she got onto food, she was having constipation issues. And it was like, it was nothing. It was like fruits, veg, anything that should not constipate you. And so the only things I did was I avoided all, crackers, all the processed junk. And, and I put her on probiotics, and that was the only thing that helped. And really, actually, no, I discovered probiotics on my own. They told me to put her on Mucilac, I don't remember how long. I know. I was listening to your story and it reminded me.
But you're right. I forgot about the probiotics. We went into a kombucha phase, and everybody was drinking that. So that's always on tap here, too.
I could not get any of my babies or the vinegar to drink the Bragg's vinegar or the kombucha, but I certainly tried. But so after I finally figured out how damaging Miralax is, which obviously they don't tell you that, I had gotten her on probiotic gummies, which actually did help. And that was really the only thing that, if she went off those, then she had major issues again. So even now she's back on them again, and she's almost 7. So it's just kind of a struggle. But the detoxing, we do, like baking soda baths with Epsom and stuff like that. But I don't know that I just feel like it's a little bit of a fad. Like, you know, our bodies are designed to detox themselves. And so I don't know. I haven't tried any of those formulas or, I don't know, like weird stuff that people recommend. I don't know. We haven't tried it. It doesn't, I don't know. But none of it's really captivated
like
me.
Yeah, 3 years ago, I got into, the oils. I got sucked into the MLM thing. And feel like some of those made a huge difference. Like, there was a special kind of scanny thing that looked at your biomarkers for this one particular company. It was kind of just affiliated or something. And it was almost like magic. You put your hand on the scanner and it told you what biomarkers were out of place and what oils would help you get back to center. And for my daughter, it was lot of the digestive detox ones. And we went ahead and purchased that, and she was better, like almost instantly. So lot of success because of that. So that was helpful. And I'd completely forgotten about that until you said something and triggered it, the memory. And I was like, yeah, that's right. We did do that because we were concerned about that, and we were trying everything, pharma, alternative, we were going everywhere. And so sometimes, something that works for, one kid won't work for another. And that's just because we are all so biologically different. We react to things differently. Allergies being a main thing. Like, I can smell a dandelion, but you put me near ragweed, I'm going to die, But same kind of thing. Yeah, we were trying all of that natural route stuff, and I feel like we did a full-on detox during those 3 years where I was really into these oils and magical, I don't know, high-octane style, lots of antioxidants, all that stuff. But, yeah, it's so hard to know what to do years after the damage has been done. You know, we weren't as savvy as we are now. And my kids are 11 and 17, so, I mean, a lot of the research is coming out, and it's newer, and it's more in your face because more people are sharing it, and there's more alternative media than there was before. For which I'm grateful. I would have never thought to ask to read a vaccine insert before, period. It wasn't until it was basically shoved in my face a couple of years ago that I would have even looked.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just more, like you mentioned, like there's more access. Like it's not just having more people out there. Like there's more access to having people out there. There's more people who are being vocal about it. Cause, like, even when I started, like, researching in university, like, it was still, that was like, oh, fuck, like 2010. And it was still pretty small and subtle. And, like, all of the Facebook groups that are, like, over 10,000 members and stuff now, they were only a couple thousand members back then. They were itty-bitty, tiny-weeny, like, small. And, like, I've been on Facebook. I've been a Facebook junkie for, like, years. And just to see it, like, grow and so much more people who are willing to be like, you know what, screw this. This happened to me, and I'm not going to shut up about it, you know.
Right.
It's like, despite, you know, social media and all these people who are blatantly telling you and you're like, you know, to take your kids away and to tell you to die. And the news is just really bearing down on, you know, anti-vax parents even more so than back then. I mean, back then it was about
the
entertainment industry.
Was it the Golden Globes or the Pat Myself on the Back Awards, whatever it was over in Hollywood, where they were doing flu shots on TV, alleged flu shots?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Anybody who knows any basic hygiene of the shot process knows that that was not really happening. You can't go around without gloves and give people shots. It's like super malpractice-y.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, they're pushing it. They're
the
pushing
one
it
guy
so hard.
Got the picture of his face where he was like petrified.
Yeah.
There was one guy there, I forget who it was, and they're like, oh, it was like posted in like some vaccine groups. It was like, oh, his face says it all, and he just looks like mortified.
Yes.
Like,
we're being so indoctrinated
God.
To trust this process and to go ahead and get this vaccine because it's healthy, and they don't bother to say, well, you know, there's also, I think they did that in the wake of, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they did that in the wake of the reports that the aluminum in the vaccines causes autism-like symptoms. I think mainstream media had to admit that there's a link between aluminum and autism, and that aluminum is in vaccines. So I think they were doing that to kind of deter from all that reporting coming out. And be like, oh, look, your favorite celebrity just got inoculated against the flu, the same thing you're afraid to inoculate yourself against. Yeah, they did it. No, they didn't. That was a prop. There's no way that was a real shot. No way.
Yeah, there's always an agenda, for sure.
Absolutely insane. And they have that, no, was it Sacri-Bee or something? Sacri-Bee? Sacri? I don't know. There was some new article that came out just very recently. I haven't even had a chance to read it yet. I've just seen it float by. I've been doing, like, lives in different groups all day about midwifery stuff. But it was, like, this article. Like, some people were sharing screenshots, and they're saying now that the measles itself can cause autism in this article. It's like, it's not even vaccine. It's measles itself. Scientists are saying the measles itself can cause autism. I'm just did they just say this? Did they just say this? So now, you know, they're flipping the script to say that it's not even measles vaccine. It's like, if you don't get your measles vaccine, your kid could get measles, and they could get autism from measles. It's like, what the hell?
I know.
Okay, I have a 50-year-old cousin, so maybe he's 54 now. And when he was young, he caught the measles. And at the time, because 50 years ago, they didn't have children's Tylenols or anything for kids to lower that fever. And, you know, I guess his mom was working and he was with the sitter. And he ended up with brain damage from a super high fever, like beyond. And when you put a kid to bed as a babysitter, you don't really go back in and check. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this kid ended up with brain damage. And brain damage from the fever from the measles. And
wow.
The vaccine, I don't believe, was even out. So, like, one kid that I am related to had a bad reaction to having the measles and having a really high fever. You know, no ice bath intervention in time kind of thing. Because he was with the sitter. What's the sitter going to do? Like, hover the whole time? Not back then. So that's
yeah.
The only risk that I can see is somebody doesn't get there to lower that fever in time. And that's, I mean, are they trying to say that my cousin then would be considered autistic? Is that the autism they're talking about? Brain damage from a super high fever? I don't know that that correlates, to be fair. you know, and today we have not only access to that information for natural ways to reduce a fever, but we also have the tried and true. I mean, if it's an emergency and you really don't know what you're doing and you Tylenol Motrin that sucker, that kid's not going to get brain damage. Maybe a little liver damage, but not brain damage. So, like, I mean, there's really modern day zero risk to the measles. Really.
Right.
Unless there's something super wrong with you otherwise. And again, like you said, I'm not setting my kid
on
fire.
Sorry, go ahead.
like you said, I'm not setting my kid on fire to warm your kid, you know?
Right.
I love that analogy. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I know.
It's not.
I love it, though.
I actually, before the whole thing, I had an anti-vax homeschooling friend, and she wasn't in your face. She wasn't like, oh, you shouldn't do this. And she was not that kind of anti-vaxxer. She invited us over, and she's like, well, my kids aren't vaccinated. I'm like, okay, mine are. Like, and she's like, you're not worried? I go, why would I be worried? If I trust the vaccine works, then what disease is your kid going to give me that my kid hasn't already been protected against, right? That was my attitude back then. And it's still kind of my attitude now for people who are saying those same things, like, oh, your anti-vax kid's going to spread the plague or whatever. Like, really? Because your kid was vaccinated against that. So how's my kid going to get your kid sick if your vaccine works?
I know.
And they just said they're kind
of
dumbfounded.
Herd immunity. I know. That's probably the most painful thing is it's like, my kid's not protected if your kid's not vaccinated. Really? I thought your kid's vaccinated, which is supposed to make you immune. So then what, like, there's just no logic in it. I was reading something from Dr. Michael something, I forget his name, and he was explaining where herd immunity came from, and someone basically just made it up, and I don't even know if it was pertaining to vaccines. And then somewhere along the lines, it just got adopted and just planted in there. Along with it, and now it's like a thing, but it's just like where it comes from originally. Like it truly does make no sense.
It really doesn't.
Well, like I remember watching a documentary a while ago, and like the documentary said that where they got it from is there was like some sort of ancient tribe or something, and they knew it wasn't like too terribly long ago, but basically like there was smallpox. I don't remember the exact disease, but there was something going on. And they knew that there was a solid chance that it might come to their place. So what they did is they took an infected scarf, put it on the skin, scratched the skin, and then everybody got mildly sick, and then they were immune. It's like, okay, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. But you were dealing with only the cells. They were dead. And it didn't have things like, you know, chicken cells and monkey brain and all this other crazy shit you're putting in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it was just a scratch in the skin. Like, whoa, like there's a big difference.
Like a chicken pox
big
party.
Difference.
It's like the same thing as a chicken pox party. It's the same basic concept. And,
yep.
Yeah. it just astounds me that all these other vaccines or all these other ingredients in vaccines include things like aborted fetal cells. I'm allergic to eggs, so, you know, that developed in my adulthood. I have no idea where that one came from out of the blue. It's probably vaccine related for all I know. I did get a, you know, tetanus booster before I was wise. So, I can't because of the allergy. I literally, thank God I'm allergic to eggs, to be fair, because now I literally can't get the vaccines that have anything to do with chicken egg. So, I got an exemption that way. but did you know
they're growing it in cancer cells now? So they're excluding the chicken culture and they're growing it in cancer.
Oh,
fun fact for you.
Fabulous. Yeah. So glad to know. The weird thing is I'm allergic to commercial chicken eggs, but not organic chicken eggs. So if you're not feeding your chickens antibiotics, I can eat that.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Corn.
It's so bizarre.
Interesting stuff. Oh, yeah. I remember when I was young, I remember I was sick for a while, and then finally after I wasn't sick, I tried to eat eggs again because I was so happy about Sunnyside eggs, and I remember that was my first allergic reaction. And I need to get my vaccine records because, like, that fucking destroyed me. It's like I had never dealt with anything like that before, and my mouth got itchy, and it was weird, and it's like, what, this is just, why? And then, like, I didn't finish my eggs, and my mom's like, why didn't you finish your eggs? You like eggs. And I'm like, my mouth is itchy. And for years, she would tell me, oh, it's just all in your head. It's all in your head. And then, like, it was getting to the point where if I had any egg at all, I'd be off to the hospital, especially anything like raw egg, like McDonald's or Burger King, they never had real mayo. They had, like, things like Miracle Whip. I can have Miracle Whip. But the one time they had real mayo, and I was having a chicken burger on the way home, and I don't know if they cooked it in egg or, like, put real mayo or something on it. But, like, I was sitting there, and my mouth was, like, swollen, and I was just sitting there drooling. I couldn't even breathe. And they're like, do we need to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Like, I can still breathe. Just give it, like, half an hour, maybe an hour, and I think I'll be fine. But, like, if I stop breathing, we got to turn around.
Right.
And it's like, it got that bad.
And it's so bizarre for something like that to just suddenly develop. My cousin's kid has an egg allergy as well. So it's so bizarre because, like, how related is my cousin's kid to me? Not that really related anymore. But for us to have that kind of reaction and for mine to be adult onset was especially weird because I know what, you know, sunny side up eggs taste like. I know what it's like to have a nice, I don't know, occasional slice of cake or, you know, a donut. I can't have any of that now. It's all, there's so much egg in everything. You don't even think of it. My parents got ice cream for a birthday, and it was vanilla bean of some kind, which should be safe, right? No, it wasn't. This one manufacturer in particular puts eggs in their ice cream. And I was like, I'm so mad. You would think I'd be safe with everything, like ice cream. No, I'm not. It was terrible. But yeah, it's weird that I can have organic egg and not the other kind. I'm pretty sure I'm just allergic to something they're feeding the chickens, to be fair. Some sort of antibiotic.
Well, they vaccinate the chickens and they vaccinate the eggs.
Right, because it's a permeable membrane. So you're kind of, it doesn't stop because the chicken had the egg. It's in the egg, too. So, yeah, and then I started noticing trouble with chicken, unless it was organic chicken, and I was like, I'm just costing my husband a fortune. We need to just have chickens in the backyard. Otherwise, you know, it's $5 a dozen. I'm not happy with this allergy. It's expensive.
Just a little. Just an absolute little. So we've got a couple minutes. Do you guys want to give any parting words to our listeners? We got like 3 minutes here.
I feel like Laura should go. I feel like I commandeered a lot. Perils of being the Monday night co-host to Proof Negative's show. So.
Yes. Is she there?
I'm
Laura, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I am. Sorry, I muted
myself.
Did you mute
us? Oh. All
okay.
Right.
I'm here now. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nothing off the top of my head. I feel like I've kind of cut, well, at least for now, I think I've covered most of what I can say. But, I mean, certainly research, you know, don't just listen to people around you. Like, do your own research, because I feel like, especially like first-time parents, we really just lean, whether we intentionally do it or not, you know, just lean into society and what everyone around us says, which I think is natural. But, you know, for certain things, it's really important to, you know, come to your own decisions, especially on major things like vaccines, which it sucks because it's like, oh, shots, no big deal. But then, you know, of course, once you look into them, you realize they're actually a big deal. You know, it's not just one little prick or, you know, whatever they say, where it's like, you know, oh, there's no reaction, there's no nothing. You know, it's really,
and you have so many young parents too. Yeah, like, they just trust the doctors because they figure the doctor went to medical school. But one of the things that isn't widely known or stressed is they don't study vaccines for more than like a week, and that's just when to give them and what dosages.
Yeah.
They're not told
of
anything else.
They're given like the schedule and how to administer and, yeah, how to push.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say a huge thank you, ladies, for coming on the show and sharing this week. This is absolutely incredible to be able to hear your stories, especially if you're not, you know, if you haven't shared much before. This is an honor. It's just, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sam, for reaching out.
Thank you.
And letting
us say
stuff.
Yeah. Talk for 2 hours.
Right?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, we have Proof Negative show coming up next, and you can stay tuned for next week. We got a couple new guests for Vaccine Injury Awareness Month on Against the Grain on Freedomizer Radio. So we will see you guys again next Wednesday. Have a very happy Wednesday, and I hope you all have a very good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.